Welcome once more to the Coffin Club, your premier actual play podcast for amusement, entertainment, and lies. If this is your first night, don't be shy. Grab a seat by the stage and let's tell you a story. We are returning to our Salvage Union campaign in a brand new place with some pretty familiar faces. My name is Jess, my pronouns are she, it, and with me tonight I have a madcap group of mech pilots, who I'll be introducing in alphabetical Discord order, starting with Fax. Hello, Fax.
Oops.
Hi, hello, this is Bastion, pronouns she, they, playing Fax, pronouns they, them, somehow skipping ahead in the alphabet queue. Fax has finally graduated from iPad baby scanning form to iPad baby 3D printing form.
You basically become like a Cintiq tablet doing CAD work.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
He looks like a Motorola. They look like a Motorola phone now.
Bullshit. You're running Linux and you're gonna like it. We're gonna install Gentoo on Fax. Also, apologies for me misreading the list. We also have Countess. Hello, Countess.
Hi, this is Sophie, she, her, playing Countess, she, her. That's right, folks. C comes after F in the alphabet now. It's definitely not that I forgot to change my Discord name. Nope, we changed the order of the alphabet.
Mm-hmm. It's Countess with a K. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how the new alphabet goes. A, B, C, D, F, U, C, K. I don't know the alphabet now that it's scrambled.
Man. That's how they get you.
Hold on. We also have Ham.
Big letter?
Yeah, big letter doesn't want you to know this. You can use letters to spell swears.
use numbers to type boobies.
I'm telling the teacher. Wow. We also have Ham. Hello, Ham.
Hi, hello. My name is Lavender. Pronouns fae fair. I am playing Ham, pronouns she, her. Still here, no longer the flyer, got some new stuff. Yeah, but it is the same ham flavor that you're all used to.
Yep, I just noticed what your avatar is on Discord. That is a Peaky Demon from Doom.
Yep.
Very good. That's my favorite pony.
yes, the element of pain.
No, it's a different one.
That's true. And last but not least, we have Haywire. Hello, Haywire.
Hey, it's Grant. He, him playing Haywire. Also, he, him. Boy, howdy. Ready to stomp around in some different machines, making ill-advised decisions all the same.
Absolutely. You and your fun new weapon. And your fun new claw. And your fun new jackhammer. Everything's coming up haywire, to be honest.
Yeah. Having all my blood punched out of me, honestly, pretty good.
Yeah.
Try it.
The holistic effects of getting your ass beat is befitting a mecha game. So, when we last left off, you managed to solve the terrible secret of Floodplain, which is that there was a really frighteningly capable artificial intelligence that was asleep, not asleep, that was extant beneath the town, beneath the area, and had been strip mining material for ... and was using it to build a killer robot army in order to fight a mega corporation. And in the process, you managed to exile the AI in the process, Primaria, and also save Floodplain, broadly speaking, at the cost of Primaria taking the lives, and I don't mean in the killing sense, I mean taking the lives of those other pilots that she had replaced as a consequence of them going through Forge 12. So, we are moving into the next zone. But we're also going to be doing some downtime activities. We did all of the paperwork, more or less, off screen. If you all just want to talk about your mechs real quick in reverse alphabetical Discord order, just talk about your broad fits and your broad layouts. Haywire.
Oh, God. Sorry. I opened my mouth and immediately had to cough. I grabbed that jackhammer that we basically defanged and left useless in that last fight. Fixed up the big mining claw, and that's mostly it. Except they can also magnetize the hull to draw metallic objects towards it. So that's fun. Other than that, pretty much same old Haywire.
Yeah, very cool. How about you, Ham? You've got some big changes going on.
Yeah, so I have unfortunately decided having 5 structural points is a liability. Just a tiny bit of a liability. So I have retired the Party Popper. I have taken up a new mech. It's a Mirror Ball class. I have named it, in keeping with the theme, the Birthday Girl. So the Mirror Ball's big thing is that it can project shields around me or any allies within close range. Like 40 points worth of shields if I were to burn my entire bar. It's a lot of shielding. Unfortunately, I am no longer flying.
I forgot to say the name of my mech.
What is the name of your mech?
I named it the Lucanus, which is the scientific name for stag beetles.
It's a cool name.
Because I like stag beetles.
But yeah, I have the terribly sad news of we never made a pigs fly joke.
That's true.
And we can't anymore because she's not flying.
I could give Ham an alley-oop.
Okay, you know what? Never mind. Back on the table.
Could do a fastball special.
No. Campaign is allowed to continue.
Grant.
What?
The birthday girl is not nearly aerodynamically capable enough, even with your fancy new arm, in order to do that?
No, I was going to throw Ham.
Oh.
Ham probably bounces.
All right, fair enough. I was going to say, at best, you're going to get a pulled pork slider out of it.
The GM's, I don't know, pulled pork jokes. Slider sounds like a good evening.
Oh, no. Careful now. Yep. Horny season, also, but careful now.
Just based on the appearance in the book, this thing is, the mirror ball is kind of droidica-shaped, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's got it's got drum set arms as the shield projectors.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fun radomes.
All right, Fax, tell us about your new mech.
Fax now got a forge and named it the Immaculate Share Ratio, or has moved from copying other people's assets to printing them. The forge loses the scanner that the Spectrum has, but now it can just make shit out of metal when I want to, including armor plating systems and mech-sized swords. Just takes like 10 minutes.
Hell yeah.
But and you can't sell what it makes for anything, but it functions and it doesn't fall apart like my jury rig stuff. So yeah. Oh, and I stuck a mortar on little Mort Nanny. So now I have a child with a very large gun.
You know, like you do.
Yeah.
Very cool. And last but certainly not least, Countess.
So I have taken a hussar, which I've called the Tact of the Hair. The Tact of the Hair is actually a little bit squishier than the way the crow was. It has 3 less structure points, so 12 instead of 15, and it doesn't have the ability where I could negate critical hits, which never came up for me as far as I can recall. But it is very fast, So I can move an initial range band on my turn as free action. I can also move twice as fast across campaign area and region maps. And in terms of equipment, I have swapped out my red laser for a blue mining laser, which is heat 3. So I'm getting heat at triple the rate as before. And I've mitigated that with a reactor safety protocol, which gives me a more favorable table whenever I have to make reactor overload rolls. What else new did I add? Oh yeah, so I added a armored shield, which lets me block melee attacks as a reaction. That's another table that I roll on. And then I have the chaff launcher, which lets me cause missile trait attacks or target trait attacks to miss, and that's to use.
Yeah, absolutely. Got all sorts of fun new toys for y'all to play with and bring to bear in the new location of Aspirate that you have all decided to go to next. Let's read shit off that Jess has written. Ba-dum-bum. I wrote this one part you heard earlier, but also it's a new episode, so I'm going to read it again. Aspirate. Verdant and fairly well kept in pockets, full of factories and manufacturers and the rest. A-SPR in Arcology does not take up the entire area, though it is a major foundational landmark. A fairly safe place to visit, let alone stay, but the Arcology is a body and a body needs to be fed. Work, trade, fight, hustle, survive within the stacked floors. There are two main settlements of Aspirate that are not A-SPR itself. They're located outside of Aspirate, or out of the Arcology. Foundry Town. Rivets and steel, the tunk, tunk, tunk of officers' boots and workers' mallets, the sick smell of ozone and chemical fluids, teeming towers of businesses, homes, private property. This is where the people who are allowed to deal with the outsiders live, work, play, work, drink, work, and sleep. And the grind. The underbelly of the Arcology where the real work gets done. Goods get shipped back and forth on rails to and from the polluted sea, in and out of the continent. Gladiators ply their trade in the arena, bounty hunters bid for corporate contracts, idealistic upstarts cut their teeth behind the wheel. Secrets flow like water here. When I say outside of Aspirate, what I mean is that they are, in the case of the grind, it is literally underneath the Arcology and like sprawling out of the Arcology, and Foundry Town is a separate entity where all the processing is done, but it is connected to the Arcology. Notable districts of Aspirate. Latex, corporate medicine at its most accessible, hospitals, clinics, body shops, ware merchants, all working together to combat the sepsis, staunch the bleeding. Silk, mass textile manufacturing, high fashion, rich houses, good fences to force good neighbors. The body needs money, and they do try to circulate it. Cotton, green lands, what little remain, pushed to their limits. Hydroponic farms, earth movers, meat vats, sharp knives held to the throats of agri clans by family heads to be. Leather, entertainment, mass residences, hotels, good food, good God, good food, good eats, good God, give a bitch a break. Blow off steam and empty your pockets. There's a good tourist. And suede. Corpo governance, logistics, infrastructure. The gloved hands on the lever of power, sweating through the fabric. Power feeds the city. Power is fleeting. It is quite a sight to bring the blue bottle in through Floodplain and make your way to Aspirate. The city grows from the rocky lands like a monument and is full of aerial traffic and all sorts of other transits and traffic. There is room to park the blue bottle. There is room to touch down. You will be at Aspirate in a minute, but you have time to get your downtime in order before you head in order to pick up the free healthcare that was offered to you as a result of doing your good work in order to help the SPR down in Floodplain. So let's go through the downtime stuff real quick.
Yeah, it turns out if you whore yourself out to extremely large corporations, they'll just fix your body.
Sometimes. You provided them with a service that they don't want to give you scrap for, so they will give you other things instead. All right. Do you want to gather cantina rumors? Or, I mean, you do have the opportunity to gather stuff. Let me actually get the sheet open. That's something I forgot to do today.
So, like you said, this place isn't all arcology, right? Like, there is still... There's places around here that are outside of the city.
Yes.
Probably not a lot of people.
Not really. It's a lot of small... it's a lot of small areas. You know? People who are living on the fringes or... Well, you know, the alternative to living in an arcology or living in a salvage town is living in a, and it's living on a crawler. So,
yeah, just might be good to see if there's any, I don't know, anyone who's preying on people, but obviously not, but like outside the arcology. Mm-hmm. Do something nice for the locals.
Yeah.
That aren't SPR. Not saying we don't have to help SPR anymore, just like we gotta balance the scale somehow.
Strictly speaking, if there are like, you know, raiders or whatever that are killing or preying upon valuable SPR employees, they'd probably appreciate it if we solve their HR problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, who do you want to ask about that then? Fax?
Who? No, wait. No, it's just the Wasteland Explorer again. Don't we have scouts?
No.
Which bay is that?
The Wasteland Explorer pretty much is the scout, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess Vax will just go check to see the sextant again and see what they've seen.
She's posted up on her little watchtower. Oh, you're asking about like if people are fucking with the settlements outside of their ecologies?
Yes. Well, it's we have to remember people who don't live on that side of the fancy walls sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, of course there are. But broadly speaking, SPR tends to handle that through subcontracting to bounty hunters.
All right.
They're not going to send corpo security out there in order to, like, clear up the people who are shaking down the assorted settlements. It's just a matter of whether or not you can get paid to keep the peace at one of those places. They have some self-defense, but, you know, the SPR is always looking to bring in new labor from outside forces, and people are desperate to get up out of the settlements. So, quid pro quo, it feeds itself.
All right, well, I guess I feel slightly less bad about following their trail here then.
Yeah. I've never
I guess been... we'll see who we meet out there.
I've never been in this one myself. I think SPR tends to broadly keep its problems internally.
I mean, I guess we'll find out.
Well, look at the positioning and where they are on the continent. And she takes out a map as she starts showing you. So there's the sea that's here to the left, because it's up on the it's up on the coast. There's a sea that's the sea is here to the west. And they've got their shipping and everything, and yeah, you gotta go worry about the pirates if you go out on the ocean. But you know, the reactor is here to the east, and then there's the other stuff that's up north that the GM hasn't defined yet. They are in a pretty comfortable position where environmentally they're pretty sound. Security wise, they're pretty sound. The big issue was the exertion down south into floodplain. That was putting a lot of strain on their resources, and you kind of have solved one of their major problems. So if anything, right, the inside is going to be more stable than ever.
That means that hopefully we won't have to worry about problems from that quarter on our way through here.
Yeah.
Kind of a relief.
Well, I guess that's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, well...
All right, you want to pass the...
Yes, sorry.
All right, anybody else got a question? Want to get a rumor, want to find some information?
Anyway, you're muted.
I know.
Oh.
That's because I was just making mouth sounds while I thought.
But I thought Neil Cesare or whoever already did that.
Wow, wow. Wow. I don't know who I want to talk to. It's the problem.
Well, what questions do you want to ask?
Oh, you know, let's go talk to the tourist in the trading bay.
All right, what do you want to know?
I want to know if there's a black market around here.
No, buddy, absolutely.
I mean, I know the answer is yes, but, you know.
Yeah, you go down to talk to the tourist and you're like, oh, is there a black market? He said, oh, buddy, absolutely.
Yeah, I offer a high five, and then I think better of it.
No, he high five. He absolutely.
You would destroy me. His arm.
I hold the hand out.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, you let.
You have to high five me, or else I kill
very
you.
Still. Yeah.
This machine does not stop for flesh and bone.
And he is, of course, you know, like ow, 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 ow. But yeah, no, he's like yeah. This place is got a great black market, man. You're going to fucking love it if you're looking for weird illicit shit. Because there's always stuff that's falling off the back of a truck. Or
hell yeah.
Gonna like, man, so like, to take your fucking pick, you go down into the grind. There's stuff for sale every which way but loose. Latex is always pumping out some of the best meds and some of the best explorations of, you know, not upcoming cyberware, but like some of the best reliable shit you can get your hands on. Knockoffs from Silk are like not officially encouraged, quote unquote, but they are like primo stuff. There is a huge... So like ever since one of the Patriarchs died... for one of the agri clans, there's this huge run that's currently going on citrus. So fruits and vegetables are a hot market right now. And of course, you know, you got all the fun stuff from leather. There's less stuff coming in and out of the corporate sector of governance, but like there's always secrets for sale. Yeah, if you go to the grind, you're going to find whatever the fuck it is you're looking for. Like, all sorts of information, all sorts of, like, shit they don't, you know, they quote-unquote don't want you to have. But it's going to be a real good time if you're looking for stuff.
Hell yeah. We're going to have to go put together a little excursion then.
Oh, totally. I mean, like, it's in Arcology. they pretend, you know, oh, we're, like, self-sufficient. But they leak, like, fucking sieves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the people at the top, like, sure, whatever, they say they're squeaky clean and all that, but you know, there's a lot of people underneath them.
Totally, totally. Yeah, no. I could probably put together like a shopping list if there's like some fun stuff you want to try to pick up for me.
Yeah, let's.
I'm just see what we can do. Haywire. Help roll that tourist out.
We don't really have to talk. I already agreed.
Okay. You know, come on by later on.
Okay.
The training bay. We'll see what we can do. I don't know why I'm talking to you like this.
Somebody taught tourists about vocal fry.
Oh, no. On the black market, you got a whole DVD set of all of Cree Summers' filmography.
All right, is there anything else you want to ask about the black market and tourists, or are you good?
Nah.
Fair enough. All right, Countess Hamtess.
I don't think we introduced the fusions until later in the season.
God. It's better than Calm.
Oh, I thought that was those were offspring names. Horny season.
Jesus. Yeah, that's right. Turns out this is the Fire Emblem season.
We're going to do generations.
I was going to make a baby dimension joke, and you got there before me.
We have to go into the baby dimension, which is completely safe, and yet there's bandits.
I have an idea, unless, Countess, if you want to go ahead.
I know, go ahead.
All right. Well, first off, we're going to the crafting bay. Because Ham has to do some maintenance on the pin drop. And let's be real here, is kind of just showing off the pin drop. I think we're going to be looking for information on leather. Because as a former clown official in a different arc, like that's going to be what Ham's interests are.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Bum, bum, bum. You want information on leather.
Yeah.
Who are you talking to again? Sorry.
Well, I said crafting bay. That is alchemist. I am leaving that open to you, the GM, if you want to pull out Sylvia.
Yeah, all right. All right, you want to talk to Sylvia? We can talk to Sylvia.
Your choice. Dealer's choice.
Yeah, fair enough. So you go on to the crafting bay. Sylvia's currently working like a lathe at the moment. And, you know, got jumpsuit, goggles on, sparks and everything, starts and is working, like stops the machine. And it's just like, so like, is this a whole, this is like a whole thing now, right?
What's the whole thing? Sorry.
You're doing like the cool girl like jumpsuit and you got a facial tattoo and like you start walking around talking about how cool your gun is. So like, Ham, sweetie, I know you're from an arcology. You don't kind of like pretend to be hard like the rest of us. It's cute though. It's like kind of daring.
Well, I got the butterfly because it was cute. Anyway, hi, I need some gun maintenance stuff, and also, like, I've never been to this Arco. Do you know anything about, like, the entertainment stuff there? They've got, like, a whole scene for it?
Oh, God, I've never been here myself, but, like, if you've been to One Arcology, you've been to all of them, though I have been paying attention to, Alchemist has been getting radio transmissions, so we've been listening to, like, the shit on the radio. Like, can you believe that they still have radio out here? But it makes sense. Yeah. No, there's some weird stuff going on at Leather. Last I heard.
Weird stuff?
Yeah, there's been, like, a lot of, like, burglaries. There's been a lot of theft. And some public displays of fighting between some of the families that run the different districts. Like, you try to treat it as a more neutral ground, because everybody, look, you grew up in an arcology. You understand this more than I do. But the powerful families have their fingers in everybody else's business. Especially in a place that is quote-unquote neutral, like Leather. Even though everybody's like paying attention to everybody else's hot gossip or trying to canoodle up with all sorts of like hosts and hostesses. So there's been a lot of thefts going on. Some stuff has been getting like kind of heated, and they're doing their best in order to put on a happy face in order to keep the clientele interested, but it sounds like a whole Trouble in Paradise sort of thing to me, you know?
I wonder if we had that where I came from, and I just didn't notice. Okay, cool.
Yeah, there was something about a three-armed woman.
Ooh.
I don't know. I didn't get any further details. The information ebbs and flows the closer we get, the way that the wind moves.
Okay, so three-armed women and weird wind patterns. Gotcha. Okay, good info. Thank you.
Am?
Yes?
Oh, goodness. I thought I muted on that sneeze. Hold on. I'm going to have to clap in order to... All
right. I did not hear a sneeze. I think maybe Discord got it.
Yeah, but it'll pick up on my end.
Oh, right. Mm.
Yeah.
I am recording. Thank goodness. All right. Ham, you wanted me to take a look at your gun. Let me take a look at your gun.
Sure. Just be careful, okay?
Ham, I don't think I'm going to break your gun. All right. She will take a look at your gun.
Alrighty.
Like, actually take care of it. It's not like a whatever. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Countess, you got anything you want to find out?
I have an idea. Can you remind me? So I have an idea. Can you remember real quick what Fax asked about? Just because I want to make sure I'm not asking about the kind of same thing.
Fax was asking about whether or not the salvage town, like the not the salvage towns,
if the residences the SPR on the outside was responsible for security,
yeah,
for everybody else.
Yes, and if the towns on the fringes of Aspirate were under threat or needed any sort of protection or whatever.
Okay. Okay, I guess my answer for this. I'm going to talk to Scoops, I believe. And I will just ask, what is your advice on how we should approach SPR given our actions in Floodplain?
Scoops kind of just looks at you, Countess.
Sir.
They threw a shitload of free blueprints at us, and they're giving the four of you healthcare for free. What do you mean, how do we approach the SPR?
Well, I am worried about, I am certainly grateful for all that, and it is good to go into a area with a where we have a friendly relationship. That I think that's much of the reason why we decided to go there. I do want to avoid being too close to a corporation, getting too intertwined in their interests. That's part of why I left my previous my previous Merc group.
I see. Well, it kind of sounds like you just want to walk on by then. You don't interact with something like this and not get changed by the process, Countess. It's an institution, an entity that is bigger than us. There's only so much we can do in order to interact with it. It's, we just say our niceties. We don't commit to anything. maybe there's some salvaging or processing jobs we can do. You want to get your rocks off and go fight in the arena, or you want to do a little bit of private work? Go do a little bit of private work. Just make sure you don't do anything in particular for the SPR then, if you're that concerned. There's always private citizens that are willing to hire. I think there's actually some people in the Agra clans who are looking to settle up a score. Being a little bit of muscle, helping keep the peace there, will it ought to do a good job of letting you know you're letting them know you're here to do business without like fully committing to working to the SPR. You understand?
Yes, I think I do. Yes. Thank you, sir. Just one more thing real quickly. If I ever overstep my authority, or if I ever overstep my authority, I hope you will tell me and tell me to knock it off.
Countess.
Sir?
You do realize this is like a communal environment, right?
Yes, sir. That's exactly it. I don't want to... I hope that I can bring my previous expertise in a way that will benefit the blue bottle. I do not want to... I do not want to act as a... as an authority or a leader when that is not wanted.
I mean, I appreciate it, but at the end of the day, you know, Ratfink is technically still in charge of you.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to be honest. Are you mistaking squad politics and squad hierarchies for like greater standing within the blue bottle? Cause like, this sounds like a conversation you got to have with the other pilots, not necessarily with me. It's not like you're going to... You come in here and you start telling me how to drive the blue bottle, I reckon we're going to have a problem. But I am going to have a conversation with you about it and try to figure out what's got a fucking fire under your ass like that. It sounds... If it's something that's between you and the other pilots, it sounds like it's something that's got to be between you and Ratfink and the other pilots.
Yes, I suppose that's true. Well, thank you very much then, sir.
No worries.
We'll salute and head out.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So, I'm going to say up front, because I just want you all to know.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a little weird. This is going to be a little experimental. I just want y'all to roll with it, and if you are confused or have questions for me, bring them up. I will address them, and we will answer them, all right?
All right.
I would rather let you know that I have something going on behind the scenes, and then reveal it when the time is right, as opposed to not letting you know something is going on, and then springing it on you, and y'all being confused the entire time. Just know I'm up to something. And trust me, all right?
Sure thing.
Like the...
Okay.
Think of it like the dream sequences from Red Markets.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right, cool. So, you're going to spend 2 weeks in latex, just getting healed up.
Oh, horny season.
Yeah, right? Getting healed... Look, I named them all after fabrics, but I did name latex after latex for a reason. But you are going to be spending 2 solid weeks in the medical facilities of latex. You're going to be figuring out what you're going to do from there. But we're just going to gloss over that right now. We'll probably come back to it later. At the end of it, Haywire, congratulations, you are healed up to full.
Whee.
Everybody else who's got any lingering radiation damage, you don't got to worry about that.
Hey.
Hooray.
Hooray.
All right. Welcome to Aspirate. What do you want to do? You have some rumors to follow up on. You have some.
Well, I mean, I guess the first thing was the Sky Lady included in that 2 weeks of healing? Is she? We do have her somewhere.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess we could.
Are they just going to hold on to her now?
Yeah, I guess we could. Like, is she awake yet? Is she?
What's up? You don't know.
Okay, we should establish at what point we're okay with not knowing. Like, are they not telling us what happened? Like, did they disappear her while we were recuperating? Or is she just, they're really studying her condition closely and trying to figure out what the hell is going on or something? They're too busy and we're not hearing about it.
These are good questions, but you have work to do. You don't know. As a GM, you will find out information, I promise.
Okay.
Just don't worry about it right now.
Okay. Yay.
Precisely.
Yay.
All right. Well, with that out of the way, where's the black markets at?
Well, the black markets are down underneath the arcology itself. Like I said, it's the grind.
We should go there.
Yeah.
All right.
Did we get a wish list?
Yes, you absolutely got a wish list from Tourist.
Kinds of things are on it?
Man. Man. How long was Tourist in that prison?
Oh, I don't remember.
He misses a lot of outside material.
Porny season.
It's not necessarily porn or relief. It's a lot of, it's fundamentally, it's a lot of creature comforts. It's a lot of small things that interest him, and also stuff that he wants to proliferate throughout the prison in order to put a little bit of a smile on people's faces. You know what I mean? It's not like he's going in there for drugs, but he is going in there. He is asking for, like, some nicer things. So some nice clothes for folks, or, like, some fashionable articles, that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
As long as it's nothing illegal.
Well, I mean, it's a black market. Some of it probably is.
Yeah, they just don't differentiate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how to articulate it. I'm trying to think how to phrase it. So the grind really is like a concrete and like steel town that has been built beneath the assorted like struts and pipes and everything that is the arcology that's above. If it shifts wrong, this place is flattened. You know, if something horrible happens and it collapses, this place is fucked. It's like Final Fantasy living under one of the Midgar plates. You know what I mean?
Under the pizza.
Yes. Actually, I think that's a pretty good touchstone for how this sort of place looks. It's very Walmart in here, but in the salvage union sort of way. So, you know, there's not a entire brothel dedicated to bees, but There is.
This truly is a hell.
Yeah. But there is one that's like bunny girl costumes and, you know, that sort of like retro throwback sort of hostess club chic. So everybody tell me what's something that catches your eye in the grind.
An old one of those camcorders with the fold-out screen that's like really small, but not so small that it does not produce, it can't write to like physical media, in, you know what I mean. Not a camera-sized, a phone-sized camera, a proper video camera.
Right, I getcha. It's very funny.
Probably like really, really obsolete tech comparably to everything else. But yeah,
that's really funny. We go to the black market. We're looking through the black market. This is where all sorts of stuff can be found. All sorts of sights and sounds and pleasures. What does Fax find? Outdated audiovisual equipment.
Look, I'm sure like somebody traded it in and it was used to record snuff films or something, but it's, if it works, it's fine.
Listen, I went to a big market event last weekend. First thing I did was buy a World War II era camera. Like, nice. I'm right there with Facts on this one.
No, I get it. It's just also very funny considering it's Salvage Union, and Facts is just like, oh boy, it's got up to 8 hours of recording. No, that's fine. That's fine.
High fidelity sound.
It's the retro technology theme.
I like it.
It speaks a lot to Fax's character.
I forgot to say the immaculate share ratio. The right click save as looked like a sort of upright VCR with spider legs. This Forge looks more like a one of those old like gateway beige PC towers.
Yes, very good.
Oh, and it's also constantly smoking, so it's yellowed plastic.
You're not in your mechs at the moment on account of the proximity. I'm just saying,
forgot to mention it.
Yeah,
no, I'm sure there's a no mech at the market policy.
You're probably not allowed to drive your, I don't know how heavy a mech is, you know, walking, crushing machine through. Yeah.
But yes, that is what Fax finds. Camera.
I think there is a stall or series of stalls. I mean, there is street food. There's street food. There's also like someone doing like, like kebab type stuff. And they're also like selling the spices that they are putting on their kebabs.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And they're like,
black market
with
street
you.
Food.
Taking them with you. We will not give you the secret meat recipe, but you can have some of the spices.
Oh, there are people who are absolutely just guarding some of the most armored up, kitted out motherfuckers of your life who are standing by the spice vendor to make sure nobody snatches and runs without paying.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The cushiest and best paying mercenary job in the grind.
The hungriest. You have to stand next to the food smell.
All right, Hammy Countess, what are you two looking for? Or seeing that catches your fancy or just broad interest?
A woman band.
Okay. Is,
busking on one of the streets. Has a... incorporated into that is like a theremin type of thing. They're like blowing it to kind of like a big kind of oboe looking thing that like lights up when they blow into it. They got the big symbols on their back, but when they crash, they like kind of flash in different colors, and like they have like little neon letters on them that like say different things. And then they got a few instruments characters didn't recognize on there.
Oh, it's like the birthday girl with the way that the symbols crack. So this is a one man band with a theremin and an oboe and cymbals.
And other things, yes. But yes.
Okay, fair enough. And other things. I out of curiosity, is this a synthetic performer or an organic performer?
I would say probably organic, but with cyborg parts, like a Haywire a little bit.
Sure, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. All right. And yep. Ham.
First of all, Ham saw the like bunny outfits and has gone on a completely individual, unrelated adventure off camera that ended with her getting a set of the ears as a piece of memorabilia.
Of course.
Like, she's somehow won over a hostess club and has a bunch of new friends that are unrelated to the scenes at hand. But after that's done, I think she's also going to hit up the street food. In addition to kebabs, I am going to say this is a Turkishing mostly, the samsas, if anybody is familiar.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Mm.
They're very similar to samosas you made in like a clay oven.
Yeah.
It's little pastries full of meat and spices and other things.
Mm. Hell yeah.
Mm. I'm getting hungry.
I have never actually had one. I just want one in the real world. They're delicious looking.
You could probably get some that are vegetarian.
Yeah, I could probably learn how to make some, honestly.
Yeah.
But that would require effort on my part.
Dang.
Yeah, I'll get you.
As we all know, anything that's difficult is not worth trying.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but now she's got like some meatful pastry. She has, as benefiting the flyer and sniper, probably found somewhere like a little bit above street level to just hang out and people watch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did remind me, even though this is not your ability, Countess, you do have a thing called Wastelander Rapport if you would like to use that ability to talk to people.
Yeah, I'll probably do that eventually. I guess I want to see see what we end up doing before I use that. But yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Trying to think of how to phrase it. So, doing a pretty good job getting the lay of the land, doing a pretty good job of just fitting in with the grind. You haven't really picked things up and dug too deep into it. And everybody give me a D100. I wanna put this up to chance.
Gotta roll dice?
Yes.
Ooh.
What the heck?
God damn it. Clountis, I don't know. Moons over Miami, the Pirate Bay, and High on the Wire. Very cool. Alright, I'm gonna roll a dice. Odds we're going to go with the highest result, even we're gonna go with the lowest result. Alright, this is gonna be fun. Oh boy.
Okay, how fucked are we?
That's right, giant alligators.
Let me get the thing I'm looking for out.
Minefield!
Oh no! An ankle deep hole!
Oh, that's really bad because I'm the one who's going up first. So
that's true.
No good for Sophie.
We're gonna turn a corner and we're gonna find a guy a guy selling snake juice.
God, I go for some snake juice right now.
You don't know there's not snake juice here.
Yeah, well,
they take the snakes. They take the snakes. They grab each end of the snake. They wring it out like a towel, but it's okay. The snakes are fine. Don't worry. The snakes are unharmed. They like it.
Listen, sometimes I feel like if I could just get wrung out like a towel, that would fix all my problems.
I need to go ask a professional to, pull my legs and or shoulders in one direction and then, you know, the other.
Dude.
I think that would really help.
Yeah. I think you want the same thing I want, which is like one of those medieval stretcher machines.
Like a tilt
table. A rack. You're talking about a rack.
Yeah.
I'm going to be completely and totally honest when I say this. Have any of you seen those Turkish barber ASMRs?
No.
Specifically what you mean, no.
No.
Those videos that are like the shirtless dude, those shirtless swole guys go into like this Turkish barber's place and they take their shirts off and they get like massages on their back. Oh, and dang.
Horny season?
It's not horny.
I got a haircut today and let me tell you, it felt pretty good.
Yeah. I mean this seriously. Go, folks at home, and also y'all, because I'm not gonna link it to you. But it's these Turkish barber procedures where it's very much clearly that this guy is putting on a show for ASMR, where he's like popping this and that. He's rubbing creams into your back, and he's rubbing creams into like your neck and your head, and it's like a full exfoliation and all that. I want that. That would fix me.
Sounds nice.
It would be very nice. Anyway, Countess, what are you up to as Esme correct taps you on the shoulder?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
So, pretty fucked. Okay.
Yeah. I think I am probably just I don't know if the window shopping is the right word, but just kind of like walking around, taking in the sights, kind of half listening to the one-man band. They have a kazoo in there somewhere, apparently, by the sound of it.
Fair enough. I guess she probably doesn't necessarily even get like the drop on you or anything, because you are looking around in like an area that's like reflective and stuff like that, but she's approaching you and like makes it very clearly, you know, like, yeah, I see you and you see me. And she kind of makes like a gesture that's just like not like the phone talk gesture, but she's making like a little bit of a come closer gesture.
Yeah, I will come closer, sure.
And she gestures to a nearby alleyway and it's just like, you know, with a tilt of the head. But she also like puts her hands up, you know, nothing up my sleeves. Nothing up all three of my sleeves.
Okay, well, I could probably take her even if there is something up her sleeve, so I will follow, yes.
None of you really met Esme outside of that time she tried to kill you.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. She has three arms. She's wearing a custom tailored leather jacket to go with it. Very much like, she's very much a tank top and like jeans sort of pilot. And she's wearing like a trucker cap. And she kind of just like ducks into the alley. And she's like, all right, I wasn't sure if I was going to see you here, but she told me you were going to be here and you are. So that means that the others aren't too far.
I can't confirm or deny that. But what is it you want exactly?
It's not a matter of what I want. It's a matter of what she wants.
All right. What does she want?
She wants you to help me.
What does that mean exactly?
I don't know all the details myself, because apparently there's some stuff she can or cannot tell me. And plans have been kind of thrown out of whack, apparently. So she hasn't managed to remake the others to give me a hand. So instead, she asked me to ask the four of you. But she's afraid that somebody has a weapon here in Aspirate. And if it's allowed to go off, a lot of people are going to die.
I have to be honest, it's a little tough for me to believe she cares that much about giving her actions in Floodplain.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to believe that too, as, you know, the dog that's still on her leash, Countess. I don't have the luxury of getting to question her about it, but you saw how she acts when she's in control?
Yes.
Yeah, she's acting like she's not in control anymore, and she doesn't like it. And, sure, I'm not gonna lie, it'd be nice if I had my life back. And I don't think you're gonna spare any tears over her if somebody was to, like, take her hard drive and snap it over their knee. But she's showing me some information that I am loath to take at face value. I'm loath to look at it and disregard it entirely.
Well, all right, I suppose if you're saying so, I can't disregard it either. What can you tell me about it?
She can't give me any more specific details. It's bizarre, and I don't know why she's not able to fill in the gaps for me. Maybe a consequence of her programming or something, I don't know. It's a weapon. It brings things from another place, and it causes trouble when that happens. It's, hold on, she actually sent me, like, a, and she takes out her communicator, and she starts, flipping through things, and, now you recognize this.
Uh-huh.
It was a different color than the one that you saw. Same interface.
Is it the gun that fired the lady down?
Mm-hmm.
Ah. I see. I see. Does she know where this is or who has it?
No.
Yes, so it's not.
Yeah, it's... Look, you've seen the shit that she can do. I don't think that the information... I don't think the information of what it is or what it can do is beyond her, but I do think that there's some elements of it that are beyond her. And that worries her, and that also makes it hard to track.
All right. Yes, I understand. I will talk about this with the rest of my squad, and we will figure out something to... We'll figure out what we can do about this.
Yeah, I guess I'll give you location of place I'm setting up at. She's giving me some funds so I can lay low, but... You know. You get an address from her.
Okay. And yeah, okay. So then as I leave, I will say to her, I will find a way to help you too. Like really help you.
Just like a slight dismissive laugh and just like, yeah, sure you will. Thanks for hearing me out, Countess.
Of course.
Why are you having this conversation? What's everybody else up to?
Getting some kebab.
Hell yeah.
Need it.
Yeah, Fax is getting Haywire to do a food review of the kebab.
It basically melts in your mouth. Absolutely incredible. I can't describe the spices.
Do you have any idea what that meat is?
It doesn't matter. You don't want to know. If you know what the meat is, then you're doing it wrong.
Fair enough.
It's about the danger and the adventure. Look, they put fries in the wrap with the meat. They know what they're doing.
Ham probably has found a couple things off that tourist shopping list. Nothing major, but if she heard about creature comforts, that's like, yeah, sure, she'll try and make people happy a little.
All right, Countess. Mm-hmm. Time to ruin everybody's day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will go kind of gather everyone up and say, you know, we need to find somewhere private to talk. And then I will lay out everything I was told.
So, Ham, very quietly and seriously, wearing the bunny ears, not wearing her mask, just goes, Ghost Lady's here.
Yes, Ghost Lady's here, yes. And one of the a gun much like the one that we fired to bring down the woman in the capsule is here as well somewhere, apparently.
Do you have a communicator, Countess?
Well,
not a personal one, no, I don't believe.
I have a personal communicator.
I will say you could have been like, can you send the image to Ham? And she would have.
Mm-hmm.
So you now do know what the... You now know what the gun looks like. It looks different. It is very clearly the same sort of apparatus. Mm. How did I describe the first one? It's been a minute. I don't super recall.
It's like a target painter or something?
Yes, right? That's right. I did use that word, target painter.
Yeah, that's how I was picturing it, at least, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it's like a target painting gun. This one's more industrial, more military. Mm. More mechanical.
I'm guessing from the image, we can't really tell if it's, like, bigger.
Not really. You would presume it's probably of the similar, you know, of the similar size. It's not like there's other stuff that's, like, file reference.
Yeah. All right, well, I will pass that image around to everybody.
So, what, now we're back, we're just going back doing the same kind of work again. I mean, I'm just want to be clear here, like, what are we actually supposed to do about this?
Do we have to go hunt them down, hunt these things?
I don't know if there's more than one. From what Miss Correct was saying, it sounded to me like we're saying that like there is one, or perhaps the one that Primaria knows of.
Now, I'm not saying that we can. I'm just saying that Like, we literally just got out of a death match. You know? Like, we literally just went through this. You know? I thought we were kind of done.
I thought so too, but you all decided to go to Asbury anyway.
I voted to go to Blackwall.
I'm joking.
Like, sure, fine. Like, you know, we can work with her again, but I think we need to have actual terms. You know?
I don't disagree, but I don't like any of this either. I don't trust Primaria's intentions here, but the fact that if she's to believe, she is worried about this worries me. I mean, I don't know what's happening, but if she's worried about this, that sounds like it's something that's dangerous enough to damage her or in some way, which, given what we saw of her her defenses in Floodplain, suggests this might be quite damaging, quite dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna be here for a little bit. The Blue Bottle's gonna be here for a little bit. Then, yeah, you know, it's our job. So, sure, fine.
Yes.
Ham has flipped her mask back on to take this a little bit more seriously. All right, so I think we do have to agree we don't tell Primaria about this until we have more information. And by this, I mean our own Algunan guest, for lack of a better term?
No, so certainly not.
No.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, you want to go talk to Esme?
Yes, I suppose that's the best way to start.
Well, good news and bad news. The good news is that you are able to find where she is holed up. It is down in Leather. I need a name for a place. It's like a hotel.
Something Heights.
Second to last chance.
Reservoir Heights. How nice of a hotel is this?
Not very, so Reservoir Heights is perfectly fine.
Penultimate motel.
Reservoir Heights is perfectly fine. Yeah, you are going to Reservoir Heights. It's like a 10-story hotel, but it's like a cheap hotel. So it's not like you're going to a place that has like a lot of room. You get she gives you a room number that's on like the 9th floor. It's not hard to get up there, but you do get there and, the door is unlocked and she is not in there. She has left a note that she's written down. And what it really amounts to is, trying to think how to articulate it. For Countess and the others, I understand you may be hesitant to listen to me or trust me on this. So I'm going to try to compartmentalize as much information as I can, especially because she's got a hold on me. So I've given you the information. I've given you what I can. I do have some leads, but I'm going to leave that in your hands while I work on other things because you said that you were going to be able to. So that way you don't have to run the risk of saying things aloud and Primaria finding out.
This is some sibling rivalry bullshit.
Would you be concerned?
A little.
Oh, there you go. All right, let me get a list of places that you would be interested in finding out more information. The big one at the top of the list is called the Temple of the Sun and Moon. Sorry, the Temple of the Earth and Moon.
Oh, good.
What?
What's the Earth?
Good question.
Soil.
Yeah, it's the Temple of Dirt and the big thing in the sky.
Dirt and sky.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is that in leather still, or?
No, that is actually in suede.
Okay.
You have to go on down to suede in order to take a look at that.
All right, well, at least we have a heading. This is what happens when you get involved with corporations. You get involved with their enemies, too. And they stick around.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I don't know. The gun might have been a problem whether Primaria was here or not. It just be a matter of we knew about it or not, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So is the Temple of the Earth and Moon like the only place mentioned, or like the main place mentioned, or?
That's the main building that's mentioned, and that's the one that's going to be easier to find out more information and just go to directly.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones I wrote down are mostly people and organizations you don't know anything about.
Okay.
Hmm.
So those would be, so the list of leads are the Temple of the Earth and Moon, the Perez clan, someone named Sweet Caldwell, someone named Stuart Poe, and someone named Joel Scott.
Okay.
It feels wrong to just give us a whole clan. Like,
why?
The scope. It's scope creep. We've given a mouse a cookie, and now we are hunting down whole family lines.
I mean, it might be, you know, a clan could just be like a family, and a family could just be like,
I guess,
three or four people. So,
all right,
family could be the people that we met along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like a kind of like a found family or something like that. Somebody should write a story about that.
No,
found family.
That'll never work.
I patently refuse.
I guess it makes sense to, well, I don't know. I guess if we have to hoof it over to
you can also go do other shit. This is just Esme Correct showed up. Let me lay it out here and be honest. This is Esme Correct showed up, talked to Countess, gave you some information about a weapon. You could go continue to just look through Aspirate for other stuff to do, other jobs to do, go fight in the arena. I'm just saying this is currently what's at hand for following this thread. That's all. Mm-hmm. It is a snugly woven blanket made out of many composite, beautiful threads. So many holes and so many frayed fabrics.
Yeah. The problem is we don't know if this is like a Fallout or a Skyrim, where we just kind of put the main quest line on hold and do the side quests until we do, or if it's like a Majora's Mask where the moon is going to crash on the Earth in 3 days if we don't do something about it.
I think it's the latter.
Yeah.
These are the mysteries.
I mean, Ham does have a mask, so that's certainly leaning in the Majora's Mask direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a pig mask in Majora's Mask, wasn't there? Mm-hmm.
There was.
I think so, yeah. So yeah, I'm fine hoofing over to the Temple of the Earth and Moon and checking that out. Yeah. Or we could also, if we didn't want to like leave Lovey yet, we could ask around here about some of the other things.
Yeah. Black market can wait, I guess.
I got some stuff, Mr. Haywire.
What do you mean you got some stuff?
Oh, I
also, you
I
don't have to call me Mr.
Well, like you're older and stuff, right?
Yeah, it feels weird.
Yeah, you should call him
Was Mr. Haywire your dad?
No.
Call him Private.
That's not Haywire. Anybody. You don't
Fax is also recording all of this. Screen recording. Okay, so we don't have to go after this just because Esme Correct told us, but also, like, do we want to leave this behind us untaken care of? Like,
Charity is. Sorry, Charity. Why is it Charity? Countess is worried about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Countess wants to do something about this.
Yeah.
This also might give us info on our other big mystery.
Yep. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fine.
All right. Question. Which of you have ever heard of the Temple of the Earth and Moon before?
Nope.
Mm. There was, if this is a pretty big thing, there was probably one at Hamzarko, sure. Whatever that was. They don't sound like the sort of people who would requisition a bouncy castle, so Ham never went there.
No. There are religions that exist within the scope of Salvage Union. There's just not a ton that are super popular, / there tends to be a broad run on general nihilism and your post-apocalyptic strains of atheism. I'm not saying that a society necessarily has to be religious in order to be a society, or that there has to be faith in given circumstances. What I am saying is, this is not inherently a society and a bunch of social groups that have a ton of faith going around. But the church, the Temple of the Earth and Moon, is still going pretty strong. You all have actually seen a church before, one of their churches before. Do you all recall where?
Oh, wait, was that the one we just did a big fight in?
Correct. There was a wrecked church in Canton that Primaria established her base beneath. So the temple's been around for a while, and it's no exception here in Aspirate. This is like in a place that is like big, Arco, tech. And Suede's really no different, you know. Lots of people on sidewalks pushing past each other. I think an eminently more walkable, like, cyberpunk New York. This is a small building. This is like a 3-story building max that is nestled in between, like, 2 skyscrapers, almost like a spite house. I'm trying to think how to phrase it. It's stone, too. That's the weird thing. It's like a stone structure.
Like local stone?
Good question.
Have we seen around here, or?
You no longer have the mech that lets you ask objective questions about the truth of things. So it's hard to tell.
Okay. That's true.
You guys think they'll take objection to the mask?
If they do, they can tell you to your face.
Well, I'd be wearing the mask.
Yes.
Exactly.
Ba-dum-bum. All right. Well, I don't necessarily want to start a whole conversation where you find out some things, but I will say you do notice something fairly interesting. As you enter...
Even without the scanner?
As you enter through the temple gates, there is the icon of a man with a foot on a planet driving a sword through it.
Hmm. Well, that certainly conveys a message.
That planet really had it coming.
Do you remember where you've seen this icon before?
I mean, I have a thought, but I don't remember.
No, I don't remember.
But it's out of character. That my thought is out of character.
Fair enough. It's also not super well defined. It's kind of like a little bit of a fuzzy image if you take a look at it. But we'll take care of that next time. In alphabetical Discord order, let's say goodnight, everybody, starting with Haywire.
Hey, this is Grint, playing Haywire. I've been playing a game called The King is Watching recently.
Ooh.
It's a really fun little, puzzle army, puzzle castle builder thing. You put down little tiles to gather resources in your castle, but nothing works unless your king is watching it. And all the different kings have different sizes and shapes of vision. And you just survive like waves of enemies and defeat bosses and, you know, unlock more stuff. But it has a really pleasant kind of surreal art style on all of the menus. It's sort of like very bright Hieronymus Bosch. And the rest of it is sort of like, I don't know. It does not like take itself super seriously. It's a lot of sort of illuminated manuscript type art in there. And I like the soundtrack for being just sort of like ambient, I don't know, castle music. it's fun. There's a lot of different stuff and strategies and things you can kind of get into.
Hell yeah, very interesting. I'm looking at all the different kings. I like that. I have found the DLC kings, and how one of them is a queen.
Yes, and one of them is Xerxes from 300. And one of them is what, like King Taizong from ancient Chinese history, whatever, I don't know. Yeah. And the other's Cleopatra.
That's very fun. All right, cool. Ham.
This has been Lavender playing Ham. I have been playing, I'm still a little early on into it, a game called Soaring Machinery, which is a RPG Maker game. I forget which model RPG Maker off the top of my head. But it's one of those games that sets it up as an action formula. They straight up made an East game in RPG Maker. It feels very much like any of the games on the Arc of Nefish dimension. So it's very fast hack and slash. But you are playing as a robot girl, and you are trying to find a tower to make your handler's wish come true. And your handler wants to be the best handler in the world, but she is a lesbian girl failure. And your rivals are like the rich oh-ho-ho-ho girl and her goth robot.
Okay, one, that's an Oshu-sama. Two, what's the name of this game again?
Soaring Machinery. I will post a link to it in our own Discord.
Thank you.
But no, it has that East gameplay that I've been missing for a bit. I have not played any of the newer ones. I'm a big fan of like Origin and Ultifogon and all those.
Oh, huh. So it's bump combat.
Yeah. It is not bump combat. You have the like three. You have a three hit combo, and each every time you clear a dungeon, you get an upgrade that lets you change out the end of your combo to a new elemental one. You can tackle the dungeons in any order, and they've got different elements in them. But it is a cute action RPG that's genuinely fun to play, has good music, and is full of lesbian girl failures.
Very cool. Hell yeah.
I feel like that's going to hit the niche of a couple of our listeners. Can't say 100%.
Japanese voice acting by professional voice actors. Cool.
Honestly, a pretty good selling point for folks interested in it. All right, cool. Fax. Hello, Fax.
Hi, hello. This has been Fax, them played by Bastion, she, they. I just like to note how useless Steam recommendations are. It tells me that Soaring Machinery, I can't pronounce that, I'm sorry, is similar to Monster Hunter Wilds and The Elder Scrolls Online.
Well, there's stuff that flies in Monster Hunter Wilds.
That's true. There's significantly fewer girl failures, though.
There's a lot of girl failures in Elden Ring, though.
That's very true. No, Elder Scrolls.
Oh, sorry. I completely misheard you then.
But I was going to recommend another RPG, but after beating it, I'm second-guessing that. So I'm just going to recommend a weird manga I picked up. It's only about like 40 chapters at the time of recording, so there'll probably be more. But it's called Break New World. It seems to be another in this author's line of like, it's sort of a classic genre, angsty espers.
Ooh.
If that makes any sense, like psychic teenagers,
sure.
Oppressive society, etc., etc. But it's just doing some interesting stuff with it, like what it's focusing on, how it's depicting it. And you're gonna need your fix now that of, you know, fucked up teens now that Chainsaw Man is over. So
yeah, very nice. And last but certainly not least, Countess.
Hey, this is Sophie, she, her, playing Countess, she, her. I've been playing Scritchy Scratchy a little bit recently, which is it's an idle game, kind of like a cookie clicker type game, but where you are scratching scratch-off tickets in it, and, you know, you're using your winnings from scratch-off tickets to get, you know, increasingly, you know, more expensive scratch-off tickets with bigger prizes. You unlock stuff like, you know, you can buy increased luck, you can buy a robot that'll scratch off tickets for you. You can buy bigger coins and harder coins that will scratch off faster. I haven't gotten super far into it. I think I have about like 3 hours into it. I'm liking it so far. I think it's a good level of required activity for a kind of idle type game, at least right now. Because like I said, you have the robot that can scratch off tickets for you, but because some of the tickets have like negative prizes, you want to do some of those yourself so you can avoid the negative prizes.
Yep.
So you're doing stuff while the robot is also doing stuff. So I like it so far. I think it's neat so far. So.
Yeah, I used to really like to do scratch-off tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I have actually won more than $1,000 on scratch-off tickets.
Ooh.
I got really lucky in that there were two separate instances in which I won $500 apiece. that I have one. I have won more with a shit post on a Super Bowl bet than I've ever won in scratch offs. And shout outs to Lou Wilson for spending all that money on scratch off tickets that one time for Game Changer. And illustrating exactly how bad of a system they are, like demonstrably. However, yes, I agree. The monkey brain neurological reflex of hee-hee scratch ticket, very strong. So this does seem neat.
Yes, and the tickets are, of course, the demo's good. Yeah, and obviously the tickets are much more biased in your favor than a real life ticket would be, so, because.
Oh God! Yeah.
So, yeah.
It should be fun at the end of the day.
About the number going up.
Yeah.
The sheer indignity. Okay. Hey, folks at home, you've been listening to this show for like a minute now. You're getting a weird jest fact. I specifically like playing the $5 poker-esque lotto tickets. Those ones make my brain happy in a way that the other ones strictly don't. And I dislike that they don't trust me with stakes or like anticipation, because you very clearly know how screwed you are the moment you scratch off the control line and you see what it is that you have to like beat, because the mechanism of the dopamine does not hit, because you'll be like, oh, there's I have to get more than a three of a kind. And that's kind of like not an unreasonable sort of thing to have to like shoot for. But then it'll be like, oh, I have to beat like a straight, or oh, I have to beat like a flush, or oh, I have to beat like four of a kind. And it's like, why did you put this in the system? I might as well just not even pay attention to like the rest of this, because statistically I know that's not likely. And statistically, I also know that this is a piece of paper that exists in order to part my money, and I really should just respect my time by scratching off the bottom barcode and scanning it off, as opposed to basically like sitting there and having like a dipshit magician try to give me a really bad trick. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't respect my time, and it's not even like putting a hand on my shoulder and whispering in my ear to try to like entice me into assuming that I'm not going to get anything more than $5 stolen from me.
Mm-hmm. Horny season.
The horny season.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, honestly, one thing about Scratchy that I like too is that like a lot of the tickets are kind of themed in a fun way. Like there's one where like you're defusing a bomb.
That's cute.
There's one where like you're scratching off like the back of a, like the cells you're scratching off are the back of a sea turtle, and the jackpot is a jellyfish, but the penalty space is like a plastic bag, and they look very similar. Ooh. So you have to.
Wow.
Yeah. It's fun that way. Yeah.
I don't have a recommendation this week beyond don't gamble.
Yeah. Don't gamble. Really don't gamble for real. Yeah.
Like don't. Play with fun money, but don't gamble.
Yeah, please don't.
Especially in this economy. Like, I don't even mean that sarcastically.
Shit's getting too expensive to gamble.
Every single time I have to deliver a DraftKings flyer to somebody, in the mail, because DraftKings like puts out bulk whatever, and they also have it flagged as first class, so you can't not deliver it to people. I'm just like, what the fuck are we doing here, man?
Yeah, don't bet on currently running wars. Because it's immoral.
Yeah.
B, because there are people in the administration reading that rigging that to win themselves.
All right, so you're against the system. I saw an ad on a bus stop near me that it was for Kalshi, from Kalshi, whatever. Mm-hmm. It said, number one rule at Kalshi, no insider trading, and I wanted to throw a brick through it.
Yeah.
I didn't have a brick, though.
Also, if you must gamble, don't gamble, but if you must gamble, don't do the parlays.
Yeah, just
don't No.
That's just saying, would you like to put down more money to not win?
Yep.
Yeah.
Again, I've mentioned this to folks here. You all know this. I won $1,200 off the last Super Bowl because there was a 100 box bet where you picked a space and you were trying to determine whether or not you were going to land on the final, on the ones digits of the score, depending on where it landed on like the quarter and like the halftime and stuff. I won $1,200 because I put down $25 on 69. I put down $25 on spot 69. And I got the quarter, I got the fourth quarter bet, which meant that I got the big payoff that was like more than half of it. So we're going to do the math real quick. $25 a space, 100 spaces. So that's $2,500. And I won the lion's share of it on a 1 in 100 chance. And that is the most fair gamble I've done in a minute. And that was between me and a whole bunch of other people in my office. And a bunch of them bought more than one box. I only bought one box because I thought it would be funny to buy box 69. And I was right. And God loves a jester. But also, Outliers Jessica is very good at telling jokes and should not be counted.
Yes, Sturica.
There we go.
Don't gamble. I won a lot of money gambling, but don't gamble.
Well,
I won a good amount of money gambling, but also I can break down the exact mechanics of it, and it's a 1 in 100.
Yeah. Also, you were doing a bit, and a lot of gambling does not allow you to do a bit.
Yeah, absolutely, that's right. Correct.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's an important part of the calculations.
Yes, don't that gamble. Is definitely part of the damnable calculus.
Anyway,
don't gamble. That's the official stance of the Kauffman Club. Never mind the fact that we had the season where Grant had magic gambling powers, but that happened. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, well, okay, but in that season,
it was also a bad idea for you to gamble.
Yeah, it was a bad idea every time. Even when I succeeded, it was a bad idea.
It's very true.
That was kind of the whole point, yes.
Yeah.
Without going deep into it because it's late and we're telling a story about a campaign that nobody heard, Grint once gambled a week's worth of sleep on doing some magic stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, it was really hard to calibrate.
Yep.
It was a good idea.
That was your first instance of casting a spell, too.
Yeah.
You failed.
It was a magic system that involved playing blackjack. Very cool. Grint kept putting his whole ass on the line.
God bless him.
Yep.
Anyway, we have a website. It is called thecoffin.club. We have a Patreon. It is patreon.com/the_coffin_club, where, if you aren't so inclined, you can give us a little bit of money and you can check out our show, Eyes of Ichor. Our theme song is called Take Her Away by Ladyfingers, and we are on multiple podcast production and distribution platforms. So if you would love to give us a review, we would love to have a review. 5 stars only and not on Spotify, because, say it with me at home, folks, fuck Spotify.
Fuck Spotify.
Fuck Spotify.
Fuck Spotify. Fuck Spotify.
Yeah, I think that's going to about do it. Tip your waiter, tip your waitress, tip your waitrex, and we hope to see you all again next time. Say goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
Take care, everyone.